When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today, Porsche Cayenne first impressions. The Genesis GV60 Magma looks ready. And Korea plans combustion fuel cutoff date. Plus, stay tuned because later in the show, I'll tell you about the enormous number of EVs Toyota sold in its home country of Japan. Join me later tonight for a bonus show called EV Misinformation is the Real Enemy. What's behind the steady stream of EV lies in the media? Ignorance? Car makers clinging onto hybrids, or darker forces at work. It'll be live tonight for patrons, and all Patreon exclusives go into the free feed after 7 days. One of the benefits of being on the Patreon list of legends and supporting the show. Now, Porsche has released the first images of the Cayenne electric interior ahead of full debut. Customers can choose an optional third screen for the front seat passenger, really common in China, that feature. The driver has a configurable digital gauge cluster and touch controls around the outer edge of a curved display. A 12.9-inch OLED touchscreen sits in the center of the dash below an air vent, and a pair of vertically oriented vents bookend the dash. The contoured three-spoke steering wheel keeps physical buttons and rollers for controls. That's obviously coming out the other end of the era of taking stuff away. A rotary drive mode selector on the lower right of the wheel. Below the center screen is the so-called ferry pad, a palm rest meant to steady the hand when using touch functions. Climate controls are physical and sit above the pad, and there's a physical roller for the stereo volume. Interior ambient lighting features an illuminated strip that shows EV charging status or drive mode changes, and it'll even welcome passengers on entry. Interior lighting also communicates the status of certain driver assist features, part of Porsche's mood modes. Now, when selected, mood modes activate different cabin functions, including different sounds from your sound system, ambient lights, the animations on screen, even seating positions. Rear seat passengers have power adjustable sliding and reclining seats. Rear cushions are available with heated and ventilated functions as well. Sliding panoramic sunroof can switch between clear and opaque at the push of a button. Looks really striking, actually. Nice, nice looking screens that, again, a bit like the BMW that we saw recently, the iX3, where the screen was kind of a custom almost trapezoidal, like a custom shape, rather than what looks like they've been onto AliExpress and bought the cheapest Android tablet. You know, just like so many EVs have the big standard rectangular boring shape. Again, with the Cayenne, they've just done a custom piece of glass that's just an interesting different shape that's not just a big kind of tablet stuck on the front of a dash, which everyone does and is, you know, fine, it serves a purpose, but this looks really premium. Now, let's talk Genesis GV60 Magma. Now, bit of a spoiler alert, they've given us a teaser, and the car looks, well, to be honest with you, it looks ready, showing off its big rear spoiler and confirming the GV60 Magma will have a world premiere before the end of this year. Genesis says the EV's been undergoing testing in New Zealand. Actually, I've got a couple of podcast listeners in New Zealand that work sort of in the area where they'll come off the flights or the boats, however they get there. And yeah, occasionally I get some photos from people saying, don't put this online, but just for your eyes only. And so I see some really interesting testing stuff in New Zealand. Tends to be a bit of a hotbed of EV testing. Sweden as well for cold weather testing, and California. This image that they put out highlights the low-mounted rear spoiler. Seems much more aggressive than the spoilers on the Ioniq 5 and EV6 GT. And looks maybe even more appealing than the concept Magma that we saw a while back. The production vehicle otherwise looks like the concept, looks like a GV60, to be honest with you. The Magma sub-brand gets introduced with this as their performance arm. So BMW M, Mercedes-Benz AMG, Audi RS, you get the idea. Does Genesis need to have a performance arm? That was always my question with the Magma brand. Surely, if you're Hyundai and you've got N and you're Kia, you've got GT, and I get that Genesis is the third one of those and they want their thing, but Genesis to me seems like if you're going to have a spin-off of Genesis, go Lux, you know, like Toyota then went Lexus. If I was Genesis and I had to find my niche, my groove, maybe I'd add just a ton of really premium luxury features. And so rather than take GV60 and go hot, you know, bonkers, big spoiler on the rear, body kit, re-engineered, super track thing. If I was Genesis, I'd want to be known for, okay, well, this is real premium. Now, obviously, Citroën tried that with DS, and to varying degrees of success, some would argue. And so, maybe I'm entirely wrong, but if I was Genesis, I wouldn't go down the sporty route. Does Genesis GV60 need to be Magma'd? I don't know. Well, they have done, and it looks really impressive. Oh, by the way, I wouldn't say no to one. Clearly, this thing looks brilliant, and this thing looks entirely ready. Now, South Korea, while we're talking about their automakers, South Korea's Ministry of Environment is now officially assessing a ban of sales of pure petrol and diesel vehicles. They'll fall in line with Europe in 2035. The proposal tied to the Paris Agreement. Each nation taking part must set nationally determined contributions, self-created, non-binding emissions reductions targets that'll be updated every 5 years. The next round of the NDCs is due to be published at the UN Climate Change Conference in November 2025. The UN still says the words climate change, even though some countries are now banning the word climate change. Odd, because our climate is changing. However, transport sector emissions in South Korea haven't fallen very much over the last 8 years or so, and there's currently 850,000 zero-emission vehicles on the road. The Environment Ministry presented four different pathways to lower their emissions by vehicles on the road. Of course, Europe is looking at 2035. Well, it's a date in the diary, isn't it? But it's maybe only written in heavy pencil. Of pure combustion, I get asked about this a lot from people, and they say, what do you think about the deadlines? They're banning cars. Two thoughts. Firstly, that a car sold on New Year's Eve 2034 is going to last 20 years. So we're going to be barreling around in 2055 with combustion stuff on the road. Secondly, the European combustion ban is only for big car makers. There's loads and loads of exceptions for smaller and niche makers. And also, I can't even worry about it because EV technology is just better. And technology that's better tends to find its way. We're all pretty happy with BlackBerries back in the day. I remember when I had one from work. When was that? 2000 and something. Before 2010. My first BlackBerry. This is amazing. I'm never having another phone. And loads of people, when the iPhone came out, just laughed. Like, no buttons. But, hey, better technology will always win. And, It was better than a BlackBerry, even though lots of people are happy in their petrol and diesels. And so, yeah, I don't really worry about it, to be honest with you, because it's, like, you know, I think, you know, natural selection will happen and we'll just all end up driving EVs at different paces and stuff like that. But I guess if you're a regulator or a, you know, country level, you've got to have some sort of plan. You've got to have a plan, Dan. Right, let's talk about the Chevy Bolt spotted uncamouflaged. I love how these accidents happen. A fully uncamouflaged, ready to go Chevy Bolt EV was plugged into a Tesla supercharger station in Southern California. The car was in a blue finish, like Chevy's Riptide Blue, metallic but lighter. The front is the familiar lighting signature, adds a redesigned trapezoidal lower grille, sharper fascia lines at the rear. Brake lights, turn signals and running lights are combined into a single horizontal unit high on the liftgate, replacing the previous split arrangement. The rear bumper has a textured treatment that kind of flows into the kind of lower black cladding. From the side, the Bolt silhouette resembles the old Bolt EUV, discontinued one. Kind of similar door, window, fender, quarter panel shapes, not wildly different. The spotted car had a native NACS port, allowing direct use of Tesla superchargers without an adapter. Production will begin later this year at the Fairfax assembly plant in Kansas. These things are never accidents. A car turned up at a Tesla supercharger and GM just forgot to put the camouflage wrap on. Awkward when that happens. Dave, have you done everything today? Yeah, of course I have. I'm sure there's something I was meant to do. Oh, we sent out this highly secretive test vehicle with no camouflage. So, yeah, of course, these things happen, don't they? And, oh, there was an influencer ready to take a picture and it was spotted. Before I did this podcast, as many people know, I spent 25 years in traditional broadcast media, so that kind of broke me, to be honest with you, in terms of being cynical about pretty much everything. Most things are just done for, you know, a reason. Most things aren't to make money, to be honest with you, but apart from that, nothing's ever an accident these days, even though they're spun as much. Got some Tesla stuff to talk about on the podcast. If not today, depending on timing, then certainly in the next couple of days, because the new cheaper budget, so-called budget, 40 grand Tesla Model Y was spotted driving around California. Just a couple of Tesla influencers happened to be outside the gates as the cheap Model Y came out, got a picture taken, turned around again, but it was spotted, wasn't it? Leaked photo. So, hey, guys, not be so cynical. Come on. Now, let's talk a little bit about, this next story is super, super interesting. The Hyundai Ioniq 9 is getting an XRT trim. This one was camouflaged, and it is a prototype of the Hyundai 3-row Ioniq 9 with the XRT variant applied. So that is lifted, all-terrain tyres, upgraded suspension. Hyundai's design chief, Simon Losby, confirming two new Ioniq 9 variants, the rugged off-road one and the high-performance one, were planned. This was last year, I think he was saying this. So the new images do show a camouflage car, but with all the other off-road accoutrements on the Ioniq 9. So specific body kits, side skirts, different wheels, that kind of thing. So in the US, the Ioniq 9, the big three-row car, starts at 60,000 US, EPA rated 335 miles, right? So XRT sits below the limited all-wheel drive trim in terms of pricing structure, but probably, you know, a similar approach to how they do the XRT elsewhere. If you want to go top dollar on that, by the way, Ioniq 9 all-wheel drive performance spec calligraphy edition, that is a $78,000 vehicle, but still a very impressive vehicle. Now, Leap Motor are next in the news. They're going to launch the B10 in Australia. The B10 is going to be their new vehicle that they hope captures a bit more of the market. It's a compact electric SUV. Comes in November, and it starts at $39,000 Aussie dollars. Now, $39,000 Aussie dollars is $25,000 US. That's about $20,000 or $21,000, about $20,000 actually, UK sterling, which is crazy. Now, it's obviously right-hand drive. It's an Australian market. This is easily Australia's cheapest entry-level SUV by a long way, if this is true. The B10 starts in the style trim, goes up to design long range. The style The base trim, 56 kilowatt hour pack, LFP. Front motor, 160 kilowatts, 0 to 62 miles an hour, 8 seconds. That's all fine, right? Top speed, 106 miles an hour, 170 kph. Again, the top speed on this car doesn't really matter. NEDC range, 275 miles, 442 Ks. The design trim, same motor, bigger battery. So you go from 56.2 to 67.1 kilowatt hours. So claim range, 321. And then you got the design LR, which will then have faster DC charging at 168 kilowatts. And it's built on their Leap 3.5 architecture. But, you know, it's a 20 grand compact SUV. It doesn't really matter how it charges, how fast it goes, or anything really. If they're bringing that to the UK at 20, and so you're undercutting, you know, Renault 5s and Fiat Grande Pandas with this compact SUV, really interesting. And that would fit certainly here with a little T03, which is about 12 grand, 12, 13 grand as the city car. And then you've got the C10, which is the big SUV. That's about 31 or 32 here. Depends on offers and deals, doesn't it? Now, Alpine is in the news next. We'll talk about VW still in court in Germany over Dieselgate. And Cybertruck, finally, a decision in Europe on whether it's allowed or not. Those stories and more coming up. Stick around.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Welcome back to the podcast. Now, Alpine, which is the sporty bit of Renault, have their version of the Renault 5. It's the Alpine A290, which is already a spin-off of the main thing. Now, there's a spin-off of the spin-off. This is the Alpine A290 Rally Trophy Series. This looks so good. It's going to make its competition debut in November during the Alpine A290 Rally Trophy at the Rally National de Londres. The competition will feature the first A290 rallies produced. The trophy series adopts a new format. The rally trophy will be contested over six rounds of the French Rally Championship with 16 competitors. Environmentally friendly recharging solutions, they say, and on-site spare parts service. In parallel, the regional trophy will be open to crews entering eligible rallies and hill climbs for both of the trophies. Only each crew's best five results count, and each crew will partner with an Alpine store under the Alpine Store Challenge to kind of link the participants with their distribution network as well. There's a prize package of €19,000 for it, split between different performance bonuses as well. That's such an amazing little car, now going rallying as well. Love it. Now, the German High Court have ruled, unfortunately not in Volkswagen's favour, to get Dieselgate all settled. Look, it just rumbles on. I mean, people say to me many reasons to go electric, and I mean, Dieselgate is such a big reason. Like, people shouldn't be under so much pressure, and there was so much pressure in all of the car makers. And I'm not excusing what happened. I owned a diesel Golf that was caught up in Dieselgate, right? It made me feel sick to the stomach that I'd been lied to. But look, all companies have loads of pressure on people that made their moral judgments not quite work. And so, like, why are we still talking about combustion cars in 2025? It just blows my mind. We have an answer. It's a solvable problem. It's called electric cars. And the temptation isn't there to lie and cheat about emissions. And this Dieselgate rumbles on. We just had Dieselgate 10. There's two special podcasts in your feed. I've called it Dieselgate 10. Two lookbacks. The events of 10 years ago. Germany's top civil court ruled the Volkswagen company would lose an appeal over shareholder approval of the settlement in 2021 with the former CEO, so that's Martin Winterkorn, related to the Dieselgate scandal that cost them more than 30 billion euros. The court in Germany just found yesterday that the approval over his payout is invalid, well, maybe invalid, because Volkswagen didn't allow the shareholders to ask questions about the personal assets of the former CEO and the former board member. Under the agreement, he was to pay 11. So Winterkorn was going to pay 11 million euros and the former CFO 4.1, or the former board member, Rupert Stadler, 4.1 million was meant to be paid by him. But not enough transparency, they say, was allowed in terms of their own personal finances and, you know, their abilities to pay, I guess, and how much of a financial impact it would have on their overall wealth. But this obviously gets tied up in the courts for years. The judges annulled the proportion of the shareholder vote that approved the directors and officers' liability insurance. Now, this is effectively an insurance story because insurers were paying this anyway. So all the fines and all those kind of things. This one was a 270 million euro insurance payout, and the case has now been returned to the lower courts. Volkswagen said in a statement emailed to Bloomberg.com that it and the other parties are discussing the implications. The reasons for striking the deal in 2021 still apply, and the company wants to reach the same outcome again. But let's move forward into EVs, and we can put this behind us. Now, something we have an answer on finally is the Cybertruck. So, clearly, European safety rules are not just about making the cars safe if you are travelling inside them. So where our rules are slightly different to the US and Canada is a lot of the car safety rules also apply to the pedestrians around cars. Now, the US Army Customs Agency have had to get involved in Germany because I imagine that would be a US Army service personnel has looked to bring a Cybertruck into Germany. However, they had to rule that the Cybertruck cannot be imported or registered in Germany by service members because it fails the EU type approval. And that's all down to the passive safety violations because of its stainless steel body and the design, the angular design. If you get hit by one of those at the wrong angle, it's just curtains. It's good night, right? As a passenger and as a pedestrian. And we have really strict rules on pedestrian safety. And so because that's Germany ruling it, it effectively also applies to the European Union. US forces asked the German Federal Ministry of Transport, the FMOT, whether members could import and register the pickup. After the legal review, the FMOT denied the request, saying it fails to meet the EU legal requirements, but deviates significantly as well from them. Officials said the vehicle does not meet the EU rules meant to protect pedestrians, cyclists, and vulnerable road users, pointing to the sharp edges on the Cybertruck and a weight classification that would exceed the thresholds requiring impact protection zones, additional safety features as well. The decision prevents US forces personnel from operating the vehicle in German roads and provides clarity as well over whether we'll ever get the Cybertruck in its current form. And for a long time, I think many people have flippantly said, oh, it'll never be allowed on our road. I think I've said it'll never be allowed on our roads. It's just too dangerously designed for our safety rules. But now, you know, it's a case of, all right, well, back that up. If you're going to make that statement, you need to back that up with having some expert knowledge on, you know, how it all works. And I'm certainly not an expert in the minutiae of how our safety regulations are written. So it's nice to actually have people who know what they're talking about, not me, making this decision, which does now give us some clarity that we will never get the Cybertruck over here. I wonder how many people over here still have Cybertruck deposits or reservation money sitting with Tesla in the hope that one day it will be allowed and they would be maybe first in queue, or whether lots of people over here that did put the money down, the Cybertruck reveal, finally decided, okay, well, I'll get my money back. Now, Škoda has added a new variant to the ENIAC lineup, which now qualifies it for our government grant money. It is the SEL85 variant, in case you're wondering. The list price is 41,980 before the grant is applied. It uses the 77 kilowatt hour pack, WLTP range 359 miles, a rear-mounted electric motor on that. Standard 19-inch alloys, 13-inch touchscreen infotainment, heated front seats and steering wheel, some decent driver assistance and convenience features, like predictive adaptive cruise control and traffic jam assist on that vehicle. Now, in the US, 15 states are maintaining their EV incentives after the federal credit stopped. The $7,500 may be gone, but now 15 states will offer their own tax credits, rebates, and incentives to help you go electric. They include New Jersey,
famously New York, Connecticut, Oregon, Illinois, Delaware, Colorado, and others. California and Washington and Vermont previously ran incentive programs, and there is hope they will resume as well. State programs use eligibility rules. They mainly prioritize low to moderate income households. Not all of them do, but some do. Conditions are based on your, you know, your tax liabilities, vehicle price, and you know, vehicles have to be registered in state and things like that. Now, the electric cabin cruiser in Norway has been getting attention from channels on YouTube like Motor City Boatworks, which is new to me. Quite a big channel, like 15, 20,000 subscribers, but and actually a really, really good channel. I went down a bit of a rabbit hole in watching the channel. Putting out a video documenting traveling around Norway on fully electric cabin cruisers, demonstrating the viability of battery-powered boats. The boat is a Green Line Yachts model built in Slovenia. It's a 33-foot model, about 10.1 metres, with a roomy interior, full galley, propulsion, with one Torquedo electric drive system and two 40-kilowatt-hour batteries. They cruise around Norway at about 5.5 knots, maximum speed's 10 knots. But they, again, one of the things they're talking about as a channel that's new to electric travel was, oh, actually, if you knock the speed back a little bit and cruise a little more leisurely, you can go so much further. We're used to that, aren't we, as EV drivers, in terms of, well, if I drive at 65 rather than 85, it's such a big difference. The American couple rented the electric boat for 16 days, doing 203 nautical miles. It's a two-part series, and highly recommend it. And finally, at the current pace, Toyota will probably exceed 10.8 million vehicles sold globally. The latest report into them shows they're doing really well. So if you're Toyota, why would you change a winning formula? They're selling a ton of cars. Unfortunately, none of them are EV. And the contrast between their successful business of selling polluting combustion cars with small batteries, mild hybrids, the sort of shabby hybrid technology that, you know, we were done with 20 years ago. Well, let's go full electric now. Only 18 full BEVs were sold in Japan. This is Japan. So this is a very proud, proud nation of their own car makers. If they're going to win anywhere, they should win at home. And yet Japan wanted 18, not a typo, 18 full BEVs from Toyota. Year to date, the businesses of Toyota, Daihatsu, Hino, Lexus, all doing really well. This report breaks out the electric performance, though. Global year-to-date EV sales have been rising, but from a very, very low base. But in Japan, BEV sales plunging by 85%, down to their new low of 18 units sold in August. So in the first 8 months of the year, it looks like Toyota is not even at 500 BEVs in the entire country of Japan, which is just crazy. But it does go to show, I guess, cultural differences. And also, if you are at Toyota, making, you know, you open the front doors and money falls in by making hybrid technology, and you look around, there's no EVs. No one's buying your EVs. There's no infrastructure, CHAdeMO. Why would you make EVs? Like, if you're Toyota, it kind of makes sense. Sort of. That's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse. Global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.